and he gives celestial bodies that were going to be the light for the day and the light for the night. He created those things. He made those things. Now, there are a lot of folks that don't believe that's how it happened. And this is actually not a sermon about creation. It's not a sermon about evolution or Big Bang. It's not that. But I need to start here to get where I think I'm going. There was no light. And God said there was light. And I believe it happened in an instant. I believe that it happened in the day that God said it did. And I believe that for a few very important reasons, but this one chiefly. Because Jesus talked about these days of creation. And in Matthew 19, Jesus refers back to when God created man and woman. So Jesus believed that there were days in which things were created. And they were created in the order that they are laid out in Genesis. And so if I don't believe the Genesis account, then I've called into question some of what Jesus believed as well. And I'm not prepared to do that. So I believe that this happened in an instant. I believe that there was darkness. And I believe that God said, let there be light. And then there was. And he contained it. And he divided it. And he gave parameters and guidelines to the light. So let's start there. What I love about the Bible, well, that's ridiculous. That'd be a long list, wouldn't it? How do I do that? What I love about the Bible, it makes no sense at all. Let me tell you about one thing I love. I love when the power of God is borrowed later in the scripture to make you believe something else, to help you believe something else, not to make you, but to invite you to believe because of the power of God that if such a thing is true, then this other thing must be true. So I've been sitting in the Corinthian class, the second Corinthians class that Trey's teaching and that Charlie's doing a great job helping out with while Trey's been gone. And, you know, Jamie taught 1 Corinthians, I believe, like last quarter. And so we've been doing a lot of these Corinthian letters lately. And I'm not here to even preach a sermon about Corinthians. And actually, Trey's got a sermon on Corinthians that he's working on right now. And I cleared this one with him first because I said, I need to borrow just a chunk. And he was like, that's okay. He was like, that's not gonna bother what I'm doing. So Trey owes us a sermon. You guys get ready. There's a sermon on 2 Corinthians coming. And it's going to be amazing. 2 Corinthians, the letter, you know what happens in 1 Corinthians? Paul calls out sin that was in the congregation. He tells them to purge that out. 2 Corinthians, there's talk of that and talk of repentance and forgiveness in the beginning of the book. And in chapter 3, he starts to talk about this ministry of 2 Corinthians. So turn over there with me because we're going to look at a few spots really quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about this ministry of the Spirit. When you get through, you know, in 7 through 18, you might have a little subheading in your Bible. I have one. It says the glory of the new covenant. Because he talks about this new covenant and the majesty and the power and the glory of this new covenant. And one of the things he talks about is he says, he's juxtaposing the letter of the law and the spirit of the law and this new freedom, this new ministry of righteousness, he calls it at one point. He says, there was a ministry of condemnation, but there's a ministry of righteousness now. And he says, that's what saves us. That's the Christ. And he said, this veil that was taken away, that happens when you turn to the Lord. The veil that was taken away, the veil that was there even during Moses' time, he said, that's taken away in Christ. So that's a very, very terrible explanation of that chapter, but you're going to get a better sermon on that later. But I want you to know that because when you get into chapter 4, that's where I want to spend time. So chapter 4, start with me there. Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, and that's why we just talked about what we talked about a second ago, this ministry of righteousness, this ministry, this new ministry, this ministry of the Spirit, this new covenant, that's what he's talking about. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now again, he has just talked about the veil that was on their hearts through Moses. And he says here, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. He's talking about folks that don't want to hear the truth. Saying that's who the gospel is veiled to, folks that won't accept it, that won't hear it, that won't let it into their lives. He said it's still veiled to them. It hasn't been lifted yet because they haven't embraced Christ. They haven't embraced this glory of this new covenant. They haven't embraced this ministry of righteousness and this ministry of the Spirit. So they are still veiled. In verse 4, he says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. He's talking about the devil. The God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Can we stop there for a second? There was, I'm not sure, I didn't clear this this story to tell you, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Jack said something in the room over here to the right when the men were gathering this morning, and that stuck with me. I was even telling Leanne about it in the car. But the men were gathered, and we were talking about the folks to pray for and how we've, you know, it's been a rough week. It's been a rough time. And he said, you know, pray for our elders. You know, pray for our deacons. Pray for the folks that are getting to work here and that are leading this congregation. And he stopped, and in a moment of what seemed to be a little bit of personal reflection, he said, this place is special. And he said, I've been other places. He said, this place is special. And I hope you know that too. I hope you know that too. Do you know why this place is special? Not because, yes, because you guys are great, but not just because of that. It's because Jesus Christ is preached in this pulpit and not men. So if I start to preach myself, I need you to show me where my seat is. If Eric starts to preach himself, then show him where he should sit down. Because the only thing that's allowed to be preached in this pulpit is Jesus Christ. That's why this place is special. That's why this place is special. So, Jack, thank you for that, brother. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, here is where I need you to really pay attention. Verse 6. Verse 6 is why we read Genesis 1:1-5. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see what Paul just did there? He said, God commanded light to shine out of darkness. And he said, it is that God that shines light into you through Jesus Christ. So if you can believe, if you understand, if you know and acknowledge that there was a time when everything was dark, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he divided it, and he gave guardrails to it, and he divvied it up, and he set bodies to govern it. If you believe that, then you better believe that Jesus Christ can put light into you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that astounding that God Almighty made light, and that same God puts light in you through Jesus Christ? You know what? Sometimes it's hard to, sometimes it seems dark, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems dark. We're going to make it through it. This didn't happen when I practiced. It's a long list in here of things that seem dark. We're all friends here, right? You can cry with your friends, can't you? I want to read this next verse with you. I want to read verse 7. So think about what he just said. Think about that he said that the God who made light to shine out of darkness puts light in you. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of Jesus Christ. So in verse 7 he says, we have this treasure. You have this light of Jesus Christ. You have it in an earthen vessel. That earthen vessel is your body, right? You with me? It's the part that gets old. It's the part that deteriorates. It's the part that aches and breaks. You have that power in that earthen vessel. The light of Jesus Christ is what you have. So why do you have that in an earthen vessel? So he answers that in the latter half of this verse. He says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So the light of Jesus Christ lives in you in a body that gets old and decays. So that God can be glorified. So that the light that shines in you, everything that is hopeful, that is optimistic, that is positive about you as a Christian, is because of Jesus Christ. Is because of the light that God shone into your heart. You carry that around in a body that dies so that everyone can see that that light didn't come from you. It came from God Almighty. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to ask you that a few times just so I can have a second to recover. Maybe I'll give you some topics to talk amongst yourselves about. I find that absolutely astounding that God made light. And he put light in you through Jesus Christ. And you carry that in a body that's dying every day so that God can be glorified. Praise be to God for that. I'm sorry, guys. Do we stream our afternoon services? Do we? Trey, this is supposed to be you, buddy. Go with me to these next verses, and we're going to make it through it. I need to read these next two with you. So remember that God created light, and he put light in you, and you carry that light. Thank you, brother. You carry that light around in a body that dies and decays. But listen to what he says in these next two verses. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Did you guys catch all that? You feel a little more hopeful? You should. I think you're supposed to when you read these verses. A lot of folks will say, and I certainly don't mean this to pick on anybody. I certainly don't, because I understand the sentiment. But you've heard folks say before that, you know, when troubling times come, that they've just got to give it to God. You know, you've heard that before. I understand the sentiment, though I don't think it tells the entire story. I think there's more to that than those words convey. I think that sometimes that is one of those phrases that is rooted in biblical truth, but has come to mean something else, like, this too shall pass. You know, yes, it probably will, but that's not in the Bible. You know, that's a fair sentiment as well. It's rooted in things being temporary. Yes, I understand. Things like, God will never give you more than you can handle. Not in the Bible. Yes, I understand 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I understand that God will not tempt you above what you are able. And yes, I understand that there will be a means of escape with every temptation. Yes, I understand the roots of that thought. But I also understand that in Galatians, he says, bear one another's burdens. Because he means maybe at some point in your life, your burden might be too heavy. And somebody might need to step in and help you. I understand that too. And so that phrase, give it to God, is somewhat in that vein for me. And I want to tell you I want to tell you a better way to look at it. I want to share what I think is a better way to look at it. And again, you may disagree. If you think about Daniel chapter 3, if you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were standing before Nebuchadnezzar. They refused to bow down to him. And they were being threatened with being thrown into a fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to do this to you. And if you can look in 16, 17, and 18. And they said, I love their confidence. It's just unbelievable. But they said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Verse 16. We don't even need. They essentially said, this is a silly conversation. What are we talking about? And they said, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace and to deliver us from your hands. No qualms whatsoever. They said, he will deliver us from your hands. He is able to deliver us from this trial, this fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hands. That's the first part that I think is just amazing, that I think is a better way to look at it than just give it to God. They trusted that God was able. That was their first step. The next verse is the sadder verse, but equally inspiring. Because they said, but if not, know this, we will not serve your gods. There were two incredible things that happened in those three verses. They had absolute confidence that God was able to take them out of those flames and to deliver them from the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Absolutely confident. But they also knew that he might not. And even if that were to occur, they said, we're not folding on God. That's better, I think. My problem with the phrase giving it to God is that if you say that, you still have to endure. You still have to endure. And yes, I understand that people want, you know, that assurance that God is with them. And yes, the Bible promises that. But I don't think it tells the whole story. And I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. Know that God is able. But you also have to understand that he might not. So go back with me and look at those verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard-pressed on every side. You know when we're hard-pressed? We're hard-pressed when crazy gunmen walk into schools and churches and synagogues and assemblies of people and concerts and yoga classes. And they shoot people because they hate, because they are darkness, because the God of this age has blinded them. That's when we're hard-pressed on every side. But we are not crushed because the light that lives in us will not allow that. We are perplexed when little girls get diseases that they don't deserve, when they get things that aren't fair and they hurt and they go through pain that is not fair. We are perplexed. I am perplexed. I know that you are perplexed. But not in despair. Not in despair. Because the God that made light, he put light in you. And that light cannot be put out. It can't be crushed. You know what despair means? It means absolute loss of hope. There's no such thing with Christ Jesus. There's no such thing as loss of hope. No such thing. There is pain. There is turmoil. There are challenges. There is perplexing. But there is no despair. Not in Christ Jesus. We are persecuted, not really in this country. Yes, sometimes we complain about religious liberty, and yes, we complain about laws that are made, but there are people where they're actually persecuted. You know, if you read some of the emails that we're getting from the brethren in India, They talk about running through the streets to escape radicals, to find shelter. They talk about locking themselves in buildings overnight while people wait outside to beat them, to kill them. And you know what? The next day you see pictures of them baptizing people in the river. You know what? They're persecuted, but they are not forsaken. They are struck down, but they are not destroyed. God made light when there was just darkness. And God put light in you, which means that regardless of the things that happen, you have to guard that light. You have to keep that light on. You have to shine it bright. You have to love showing it off. You have to be, if you can boast in anything, if you can be proud of anything, it's got to be that light, right? If you can boast in anything, boast in Christ. You can boast of that light. We've done nothing because we didn't put it there. We're carrying it around in bodies of earthen vessels that decay and get old, because it's the power of God in Christ Jesus that lives inside of us. That's the light. No one can put that light out. No one. I love, Trey and I stood in the yard outside. I think it was the day after the class where we had talked about those verses. And Trey, I'd like to preach that verse. I said, I don't know what you got cooking. I said, that's a sermon for me. And we just sat out there and we talked about that. And we talked about how beautiful the Bible is, you know, and how beautiful it is to know that the power of the God that we serve was able to speak light. And the same God with the same power and the same love and the same concern and the same care for his creation put the light in you through his Son. I suppose I don't know exactly what the point of this sermon is. I don't know if I could sum it up. I have no idea. This is usually Jed's thing. Jed's the one that doesn't title his sermons. I don't know what to title my sermon. So Jed, maybe you could come up with a title and then I'll put it on the website. But I want us to remember, and it's easier to say than it is to do, that when times are dark, there's a light that lives inside of us that was put there by God himself, that is maintained by Christ Jesus, that God expects you to hold, to protect, to preserve, and to shine. Like, now it needs to shine brighter than ever, doesn't it? You know what I love? Again, if I can use that again. I love that it's necessary to text or call the webs before you go. I love that, because that means there are a lot of folks trying. And we need to respect their privacy. We absolutely do. We need to respect their time. We need to respect their family. We need to respect their space and the decisions that they're making and the challenges that they're going through. But I love that this congregation is ready and willing. I love that your light is shining bright. Thank you for that. I know that the webs feel that as well. But when it feels dark, when it looks dark, there's still light. There is still light. It lives inside of you, and God put it there. If you don't have that light living inside of you, then that's what you have to fix. The only way to fix that is to allow God to put it there. How does he say it exactly? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light he'll give you. That's a mouthful, but it's the light you want. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what that knowledge is? That there's a heaven. You know what that knowledge is? That despite what you do, you can be forgiven. That knowledge is repentance, it's forgiveness, it's mercy, it is long-suffering, it is love, it is care, it is concern, it is hope. And God will put that inside of you when you obey him. If you are not a member of the Lord's church, then you can do that tonight, this afternoon. Don't leave without doing it. Let that light live inside of you, because it is a dark world out there. We need as many lights on as we can turn on. So if you don't have that light inside of you, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the only way the Bible says. It's the only way the Bible talks about being put into the body of Christ. Do that. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's the hardest thing to do. Right there, if you repent of your sins, yes, that's more difficult than being baptized. Allow yourself to be immersed in water, to follow God's plan, and God will wash away your sins. And you come up out of that water brighter than you've ever been in your entire life. And sometimes that light grows dim. But God never snuffs it out. He never puts it out. He waits for you to turn it back on, to turn it back up, to add more fuel to it, to light it again if you let it go out. If you have any need this afternoon, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, then do that and let your light start shining. If you need to make your light brighter, if there's something in your life that has separated you from God or separated you from the church or anything that we can pray for you for, now's the time to make it right. You can come forward while we stand and while we sing.